Poppin', everybody! Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
The other host of Popcorn Culture, as it almost says on the newly proofed person cards.
Ayo, I'll allow it because it's a perfect segue into our current Patreon special offer that
That's
we have
it.
Going on is a metal person card that we have designed. It's going to be like a business card,
but
similar
better.
In all ways, except it's a person card
and lacks any form of contact info.
Yeah, really? No, that's, but like, yeah. It tells you who we are.
Exactly.
And I actually didn't know this, but they each come in like individual sleeves,
yes.
I believe, which is like part of like,
I know, the, I'm excited about
the,
that.
The production. So anyway, in the show notes, we have available the proof for the person card that we are running from now until October 25th, 2020, which is my birthday, by the by. If you guys would like to check it out at our Patreon, that's patreon.com/popcornculture. If you are an existing patron, don't worry, you're already signed up.
Already getting one.
And if you'd like to check it out, all three tiers, they're the exact same value. They're $5 a piece.
Yeah.
And it just helps us determine who is the one true host.
Right. Which, according to the person card, at least, it says Ben, listed under his many titles, is one true host, only because he's thus far always been the one true host.
Thus far.
However, of course, I mean, who knows what could happen in the future, whether the Jazzy J side of the Patreon eventually rises up.
I can't imagine a scenario where we have to print a new metal
card. We just have to rely on the honor system, and if that happens, we just trust that everyone will, like, Sharpie that part out, and they'll just, or they'll, like, draw an arrow over to, like, actually over here.
Blasphemy.
We'll just
utter blasphemy.
Honor system. You'll do the right thing, listener. We know.
The honor system. The honor system, as it applies to the current month we're in, is proof that the honor system is non-existent. We are in the month of October.
Yeah.
Which means trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
Do you know where I'm going with this? Honor system, trick-or-treating, leaving out a bowl of candy. Please take one.
Okay. That's an interesting thing, because, yeah, please take one, as if bowl of candy person. More like, please take one bowl, am I right?
Well, yeah. You didn't specify what kind of one.
I think, interestingly, this trick-or-treat season will be, like, a weird combination of the bowl, but, see, the bowl has always existed as, like, a way for people to participate in the least participatory way imaginable. It's like, okay, I understand it's Halloween and I'm a member of this community and I have to give out candy, but I absolutely don't want to be running to the door all night.
Right.
I'm just going to put this bowl out and I can tick the box.
Sure.
Right. Now, a lot of people really enjoy kids coming up. Oh, nice costume, trick or treat. Yay, here's the candy. It's so fun.
I would count myself amongst those people.
Me too. I think it's very fun. But I think this year, you're going to have this weird situation where if trick or treating is allowed, I feel like even if like the governor of Virginia is like, there's no trick or treating, I feel like individual neighborhoods will still be like, yeah, but we're doing trick or treating or something.
It's a weird year for it.
It is, no doubt.
It is
weird. I don't know what the right answer is, COVID-wise. But I feel like what's going to happen is what people definitely don't want is a barrage of hundreds of strangers coming to their doorstep.
Yes.
Even though they might be wearing masks as part of their costume or whatever, just getting that many different unique people in proximity to the entrance of your house, and just the touching of your hand, like, or even if you're receiving the candy, that you would go to this many strangers' houses and have this many people's germs on the number of candy you might get.
Right. Well, there's just such a communal aspect to trick-or-treating.
Exactly. I mean,
like, even the bowl itself figures, you know, if you allow, and this is like actually going to years past, one of the things that I learned is that typically what I first started doing, this was my rookie mistake, was holding out the bowl.
Yeah. Oh,
and
no.
The thing that I very quickly learned is that whether or not you are just leaving the bowl on your doorstep and saying, please take one, or literally holding it out in front of them with your two hands and say, please take one, they will take more than one.
What are you going to do about it?
It's like one fistful and you're like, and then I literally caught myself a couple of times when this happened where I was like, whoo, I was almost that guy who was like, I said one.
Wow.
You know, like, and so what I started doing was like, they would show up and then I would be holding the bowl, but I would individually place the candies into their respective pillowcases.
Yes.
So, which, by the by, only way to trick-or-treat, pillowcase, right?
Pillowcase. We had, like, burlap sacks for a while.
Did we?
I can smell it in my brain.
You can smell the burlap.
I can smell it in my brain. Anywho's. The mixture of candy variety plus the burlap, yeah.
Okay. Can,
but for sure, pillowcase is the supreme method.
Yes.
So, actually, it's interesting you were going, like, one at a time because... We, at my old house, would get so few trick-or-treaters that we would get to the end of the night and, you know, Beth would have meticulously put, like, one piece of candy in each kid's thing. And it's like, you got to do way more than one because we're going to have so much left over. Like, you need to be like you got to read the crowd.
This is, well, no, but this just depends on, like, what your objective of the candy bowl even is. Like,
yeah.
Is yours to, like, get to the end of the night and be like, I have some Reese's and Kit Kats left over? Or is your worry that you're going to have some Reese's and Kit Kats left over?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would be averse to the idea of having candy left over.
I would like to have, like, a few left, but I don't want two bags of candy left.
Here's a question then.
Yeah.
What would be your mentality on... being like your the kid's perception of your home, mm-hmm. in terms of, like, the score, so to speak. Like, would you want to be the house where people are like, go check that one, that's house,
like, yeah,
those people, they're doing multiples.
I think that is certainly a higher priority on my candy giving experience, like, from my perspective, rather than my wife. I think she is more of the, like, the fun is giving out the candy, who cares what it is.
Oh, like sprees?
Well, you know, you just buy, like, the variety bag or whatever. But to me, it'd be like, I want to make sure I'm picking out the best variety bag. You know, I don't want to be handing out these, you know, I don't know. Like, what are the circus peanuts? Like, you know, nothing with that.
Nothing with that.
What is the best Halloween? I think you want, like, the individually wrapped chocolate things. That's the score.
Exactly. So I think because they're weighty as well. Like, you can, like, feel them hit the bottom of your pillowcase. It's like a ooh, yeah. It doesn't need to be, like, king size. Like, I feel like there's, in every neighborhood the world over, there's a rumored house that gave out king size candy bars.
If you got there, like, first.
If you got there first, yeah.
Yeah. They're giving out full candy bars at this house.
There was, growing up, there was one neighborhood just down from our parents' neighborhood. So we, like, lived on, like, a road that had, like, subdivisions. And one of the other subdivisions, there was, like, this house that apparently the guy was, like, a rep for, like, an athletic store. And I think it was when I was in sixth grade. And apparently he was giving out, like, Heelys. I don't know if you remember Heelys, but they were, like, shoes that had, like, the little, like, roller wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my dear friends, Steven, I believe his like, brother got one of the pairs.
Wow.
And I was like, what? And so this became amazing. A thing where, like, every year I was like, I want to go to that neighborhood because I want to go to the house that gives out Heelys. Like, in my mind, it was like, now as an adult, what I imagine probably happened was there was, like, this huge influx order. They had way too many. It was taking up space in the garage. And they're like, let's just make some kids nights and, like, hand a few of them out.
Right.
And but in my mind, it was a promise.
Right.
It was like, no, there's a house that every year, this is what they do. They give out, like, $100 pairs of shoes.
Right.
In your size. Right.
Just go to that house. You can get Heelys.
That was my concern. It wasn't whether or not I got them. It was like, hopefully they have my size still.
Yeah. Like I'm getting them.
I'm getting them
this
for sure.
This is the night, for sure. You did have Heelys at one point.
I did have Heelys. Yeah. And it was amongst, like, the trends of things that became, like, very, like, popular with, like, a very select group of people that had, like, had the pairs, and you would, like, see them, like, floating through the hallways, and you're like, what is going on that I'm seeing?
Yeah.
And so finally, I talked mom and dad into getting me a pair of Heelys, which were, like, quite frankly, the most hideous shoes otherwise, because the sole of them was, like, chonky.
Yeah, it had to be real thick to accommodate the wheel.
Yeah. So it was, like, a real, like, they were not very cool looking shoes if you weren't Heelying in them.
Right.
And then very quickly after I got them, just like so many other great things, they were banned and you weren't allowed to wear them to school anymore. But
here's the thing though, I always found about Heelys was that, yeah, they were banned, but it was a very difficult thing to enforce because it was difficult for just the teacher. Like, it's not something you're, like, eagle-eyed, ready to be on the lookout, just any kid's shoes. Like, if they're not in use, then you can't really, you know, are you like, lift your heel? Let me see.
Right.
I would see it. We had this, like, breezeway at our middle school, and that was like Healy Central. Healy like Central. People were just like, yeah, ban them. Banned meaning just don't do it in front of teachers.
Right.
Yeah. And then I feel like it didn't really stop people.
I don't know that it super stopped people. I think that I was enough of a law-abiding sixth grader that like I was like pretty concerned about it though. I like it was the type of thing where I was like, I'm going to get in school detention if I get caught with these. ISD.
As it were.
Yeah. So anyway, I was very cautious about it. Anyway, that was a huge tangent from trick-or-treating. Anyway, this year in particular, though, we, like unusual circumstances for sure. My expectation is there will be some inevitable people who do it. Like you live in a neighborhood where there's like, I think like a homeowners association where like a decision could be made.
I feel like that there is. And according to the neighborhood Facebook page, which I check never, but which my wife will frequently tell me there are updates on.
Okay.
Which to me, I'm like, okay. But
did someone spot a bear recently?
No one has spotted a bear. Although there is concern that FYI, the age limit to drive a golf cart is the same as driving a car. And you better believe the police will be called. And I'm like, late, whoever you are, just let the 14-year-olds drive the golf cart.
Oh,
it's fine.
It's
like,
fine.
Yeah. Like, chill. You can't drive a golf cart over the speed limit.
Because that's governor on it.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Like the device that prevents it from going too fast.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, I, as I understand it, my neighborhood in particular might be the most heavily trafficked trick-or-treating spot in our area.
I would agree with that. And as like probably 12, 13-year-old kids, I believe that you and I even have trick-or-treated in your current neighborhood, even though we didn't live there
as kids. I did.
You didn't, okay.
I did not. But I've never existed in my present home during Halloween.
Right, because you guys moved in November last year.
I'm so disappointed that it's seeming like trick-or-treating is not going to happen in a traditional sense this year.
Right.
Because not only do I think we are in the most heavily trafficked trick-or-treat neighborhood in the entire Roanoke area, but we are my home might be the most visited spot. We are like the, what would have to be the first stop.
Yeah.
Just about.
I think so. I mean, there's like a beacon of light. Like you guys could put up the literal bat signal of like, or the jack-o'-lantern symbol.
Yeah.
Okay. But the sheer irony of it. So like being in this position that you are, to me, it's almost like you should go all out. Like your whole house should be like,
you'd think,
like it should have jack-o'-lanterns galore and spider web cotton strands strung over the shrubberies
such.
And Jay,
maybe
even some inflatables.
Absolutely not.
This is, I want to push your button so hard here. Jay, you should have the most inflatabilized front yard in order to really bring in the troops when it comes to having the most prominent spot in the most prominent neighborhood for trick-or-treating in the Tri-County area.
Yeah, it's not called that.
No, it's not.
But there are not three counties, but there will be no inflatables.
No inflatables.
No inflatables.
Tell me more about this. So is it the inflatable specific, or are you against decorating your home for holidays?
No, it's inflatable specific.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I know some people go all out, they go real big with it, but in my opinion, I've rarely see an inflatable that just does not look super tacky.
Well, okay, sure.
Yeah.
So, but then I think that like there's a variety of different styles you can lean into when it comes to home decor for holidays.
Okay.
Because I would almost say that tacky is like a genre.
I feel like I hear what you're saying, and you can do tacky well.
Okay.
But I still think that the problem with so many inflatables is that they are also associated with some other like franchise.
Okay.
Like you will see Olaf or Minions or the Grinch or Snoopy or something.
Yeah.
And it's like these things, the whatever brand they're coming from, are not inherently Christmas or Halloween or whatever it is. It's okay. Like they are a thing that has been dressed in that, but it is not that thing.
Oh, sure. Like, so Minions, for example, like just because you put a Santa Claus hat on them, like Minions in no way when you watch the film is like a Christmas movie.
Correct.
So like by putting a Minion in your front yard, it's like, well, that's not Christmas. That's just adding a Christmas hat to a non-Christmas thing.
Exactly.
But okay, so not... But like let's just say it was like a giant pumpkin. Like mm-hmm. like absolutely no branding. Just a big pumpkin.
Yeah.
Would that still be unacceptable?
Why wouldn't you just have a real pumpkin?
Well, how would you get a pumpkin so large as an inflatable?
Why would you? I don't think it would look good.
No.
I don't think it would look good.
Okay.
I'm anti-inflatable. And this is this is a fun fact. I realized this as we were walking we were on a walk earlier last week with the boys, and I remembered back to this paper one of my classmates read in eighth grade that the teacher deemed good enough to read to the entire class.
Whoa.
Yes, and it
high
was
praise.
I know, right? And like, hey, look at this. This must have been a really good one. Anyway.
Fun fact, real quick. My freshman writing professor read one of mine in front of the whole class.
Wow.
I know.
My senior writing teacher in high school
did love me
and asked me on several occasions if she could, and I was way too embarrassed because I was like, I don't think so. I don't know. Anyway, this was in eighth grade, so it was way before then.
Yeah.
And I remember this particular paper was about how this kid enjoyed this tradition his family had of driving around their neighborhood and looking at all the decor for Christmas or whatever.
Yeah.
And they would be like, oh, this one didn't go all out enough, or this one happened to be celebrating like Hanukkah or something, so it was nice, but not the same as, you know, the rest of the decorations, or this one had way too many inflatables, or this one, you know, it was mixing colored with white lights, or, you know, they had all these sort of things, and they would, you know, sort of like drive through and enjoy the different things. But then they got back to their house and they were like, this one was perfect. You know, this was the one that, you know, it met all of their whatever finicky requirements for the best, and like that was their house.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So anyway, interestingly, later on, this person turned out was also on the cross country team with us.
Okay.
And we later out learned where they lived, and it's in the neighborhood I live in now.
No way!
I like, I always remember that paper, so I'm like, you know what? This year, we should like drive around, because like this was the neighborhood they were describing. Oh. And I've like always remembered this paper. But I saw that family is now moving, and so actually on the walk, I saw out on, like, they were like, you know, purging their home.
Yeah.
And so I could see out on their like driveway, like boxes of old stuff. And some of it was like Christmas decor. And I was like, oh man, this is so weird that I have this memory of this paper from eighth grade. And like these were the decorations being described in the paper.
What a specific kind of nostalgia to be able to like.
It's like, this is extremely unusual.
Wow. Honestly, that's kind of a remarkable story.
I know.
Like, but no one, probably, I would be willing to bet that less than five people could have had the experience.
Oh, yeah. Very.
That you had with this.
I don't think so.
So, okay. My thing is, so I live in a house that is like ripe for Christmas decorations. Like it's very like gingerbread looking.
It does. Your house does have a gingerbread quality to it.
It does. Yeah. Like literally made of graham crackers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not very good when it rains, but
do you think gingerbread houses are not made out of gingerbread?
Well, you make a good point. I feel like I've made more gingerbread houses out of graham crackers than mm-hmm. I have actual gingerbread.
Okay. Well, you know, sounds like maybe you're doing it wrong.
Maybe. The thing about gingerbread houses is like, do people eat them? Because it seems like you're taking a whole bunch of candy, smearing it together, and then putting it on display for no one, I think. Maybe for like the folks that come over for holidays.
Yeah.
But then it like, doesn't it just all go really stale?
Yeah, I think you would have to like make it and then immediately eat it.
Okay.
But it also seems like if you've done really good gingerbread construction, you've probably used icing that was more intended for, you know, keeping everything together than it was intended for
making it taste good. Yeah, but that bothers me a little bit.
I agree.
It's like borderline just using glue.
What?
Like, if you're not going to eat it, just use glue.
Right. What is the point? It's like, no, because that's part of the chat. That's part of the charm of the gingerbread house.
Is that it is edible, but nobody will. So that's a question for everybody out there. Do you eat your gingerbread house?
Yeah.
And
what do you decorate it with?
If not, to what end do you make it?
Here's the other problem with gingerbread houses is that it seems like the things you use to decorate it traditionally, and correct me if I'm wrong, are often peppermints.
Yep.
Gumdrops.
Yep.
And some kind of licorice.
Yeah.
Which don't seem like they go good together. And let me just go ahead and say, gumdrops, the most disappointing candy of all candy.
Well, I like red gumdrops.
Ben, that's not
hard
you can't,
stop. I would eat a bag of red gumdrops, but
nothing looks more appetizing than gumdrop. Nothing looks as appetizing and tastes as horrible
as a gumdrop. The contrast is horrendous.
Because you're like, look at this little green and or yellow thing, like drop of sugar covered in more sugar. Certainly it will
crystallized sugar.
Certainly it's going to taste exactly as I imagine, like just like lime or lemon or cherry covered in sugar. And instead it is like, I don't even know, perfume dipped in flowers, dipped in your mom's entire spice cabinet.
Just talking about it is making them stuck in my teeth.
And it seems like as long as I've been alive, I've been like, someone's gonna realize how terrible gumdrops are and just do it right. Someone's gonna figure it out and they're gonna fix this. And then I can't tell if maybe they have, but every time someone goes to buy gumdrops, they're like, well, I'm not gonna buy the expensive gumdrops. I'm just putting these on a gingerbread house.
Okay, here would be my proposal is they just, the company Sour Patch Kids just makes gumdrops.
Sour Patch.
Yeah.
Do that.
Jay held the mic.
I'm talking to you now.
Yes, okay, so that's what we want. We want Sour Patch Kids. Same ooey gooey material in the middle. Sour exterior. Delicious.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if that is the case and they come through, then we will have a gingerbread house building competition. You and I.
Okay. We can live stream it for the little kernels.
There you go. No, that sounds amazing. So anyway, back to my story. Cause I'm like attempting, and this has actually been something like for multiple years now, I've been wanting to, like deck out my house and like really go all in on the Christmas decor.
Yeah.
Like I want like one of those houses that's like very classically decorated where it's like, I've even gone through, and my big issue is that it's expensive.
Yeah.
The reason why everybody has like the boxes in their basement that says like Christmas lights or whatever is because Christmas lights add up. And if you're trying to cover an entire house, it's like, it's so much money. And my house is like tall. It has like a lot of like vertical space. And so the other challenge I've been running into since I lived there is like every year it comes around, I'm like, okay, if I'm going to go all in on this, I need to go and spend like several $100s on the lights.
Yeah.
And I need a ladder to mount it. And the ladder needs to be like 24 feet tall.
Big ladder.
You know, to get up there so I can like mount all the stuff. But my game plan is to go like clips. Like I want to take like the individual bulbs and have them like mounted to like clips all the way up the shingles, the whole nine yards. So anyway, long story short, I finally have the ladder tall enough to do it. I've built up to that.
Okay.
You know?
That's
good. I have the clips.
Yeah.
And my plan is to go with the C9 bulbs, which is going to be your larger bulb.
Okay.
Which surprised me. I know. Me too. I can see it on your face right now. You're like, really? Not the small bulbs? And it's like, really? Not the small bulbs.
So when you say big, is this like if I'm thinking of like a traditional light bulb?
Well, not as big as a traditional light bulb. That's gigantic. That would be absurd. This is a C9 bulb. It's like, I'm trying to think of what would be it. Maybe the size of like a Bic lighter. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So it's not like spherical shaped.
It's not spherical shaped. It's more like teardrop shaped.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Now I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the store now. I'm going to start buying my bulbs. So I like know what to have. Cause it's like, you know, it's mid-October now. I'm prepping to do this, you know, around Thanksgiving time. So I'm giving myself some runway.
Yeah.
You go and you know, the department stores have the lights lit up in front of you. So they're like, hey, this is like how bright the double bright ones are. This is how bright the whatever.
Yeah.
And you like can compare the colors and all the LED versus incandescent, like all the stuff.
Yeah.
So much to take in. And you're looking at these C9 bulbs and I'm like, well, it's not bright enough. And so I'm like so confused and baffled as to why or whether or not people out there who have beautifully decorated homes, like are they even more invested than I think they are? Like, because I looked up professional grade bulbs and comparatively speaking, so like a strand of 100 bulbs, you know, from like a Home Depot.
Yeah.
LED C9, I think is like $30. Okay. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm probably going to need like 10 of those or something right. to cover my whole house. So it's like $300 is, you know,
it's a bunch.
It's a bunch to spend on bulbs. I go online, the same thing in professional grade bulbs, $225 for one single strand.
Whoa.
And it's like, well, goodness my gracious, you're talking about $2,500 now in order to cover this house.
That cannot be what people are doing. It can't
be what people are
doing.
It can't
be what people are doing.
So, like, is it the case that these what appear to be dim bulbs in the dark of night will just look better than I think they will?
That's absolutely what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen.
That's okay. For sure the case.
So I'm not going to have this like kind of blah thing where I've like now committed more money to, you know, than I might do other things in order to accomplish it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be like a lackluster. Like I want it to be perfect.
It's going to be. Yeah. The last thing you want is to invest a lot of money and also it look bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
You put the nail right on the hammer.
Sure.
Yeah. That's the one.
Okay. I think it is going to look better. Here's what I recommend is next time you're at the Home Depot or the Lowe's, just find, you know, your local, your staff member who can assist you and just see, can you turn off all the lights in the store?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I want.
Because, it's hard to tell.
Why are those stores so well lit?
Yeah. They've got those giant mega lights that have to fill the entire warehouse of the store. And it's dimming your experience trying to pick out your light. How are you supposed to pick out light bulbs in the light, you know?
My very question.
Exactly.
I don't understand why they don't put a dungeon or a basement specifically for light bulb sales.
They need, and they have them, they could easily accommodate this, I feel. They need like a whole curtained off section of the store that is one street plus yard distance away from the light bulb so you can observe what this light will look like from the street as people drive by.
Okay. You know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Corporate America is going to listen to this episode. And they're going to be like, these guys just solved gumdrops.
Here we go.
Christmas lights.
Yep.
All in one. They're holiday experts.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
We're going to be the holiday cheermeisters this year.
Exactly. Cheermeisters. Grinching it up.
Yes.
Okay. So the last thing we have to solve then is how do we trick or treat? This is what we were trying to solve at the beginning.
Oh, wait.
How can people trick or treat effectively and safely? So, because I think what's going to happen in places that allow it, if they exist, if you dare, is you'll have to probably have a bowl anyway.
Probably.
But I'm imagining what's going to happen is lots of people will sit outside near the bowl.
Yes.
So that people can reach in. But then you still have the problem of lots of people reaching in. So should you have like, I was thinking maybe you could have like tongs or something so your hands aren't getting in there, but then everyone's going to touch the tongs.
Okay, so here's my strat for you.
How do we fix it?
Right, okay, and this is my thing too, because there's like, I am like mentally divided on whether or not it's better to try and like find a safe way to solve this problem, or if any solution to solving the problem is then contributing to the larger problem, which is the then spreading of, you know, germs and such, which is like a greater issue at the end of the day.
Yes, yes.
So the only scenario that I've been able to come up with in my head is one where I like literally have almost like a PVC chute, so to speak.
Like a slide. Like a candy slide.
Yeah. And so like, you know, then I would wear, you know, mask and gloves and basically distribute, you know, like there'd be like a line, they could come up and there'd be like a little sign that says like, hold your bag here, pillowcase here.
Yeah.
And you know, they would hold it and I would like send down the chute the delicious candy, which would then fall completely, you know, hands-free into their
reservoir. This sounds like a good solution.
Yeah.
I think.
And a PVC pipe, relatively inexpensive.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's sort of my thought process. And to be entirely Franklin honest with you, I have not even decided what to do about this.
Mm.
Because it feels like such a dicey maneuver.
It does. So it's hard to even know at this point if it's going to happen.
Right.
And what to do. Because if it does, I can tell you I'm woefully unprepared on the candy front.
Same. Yeah. I have none.
Yeah. I think we've got like a bag, which I'm like, this, we may as well have no bags.
Right.
If it happens because of the traffic, we will.
Right. So
incur.
Once upon a time. So I think it was my maybe second year at my current home, I had by far and away the most trick-or-treaters that I've ever had come. Yeah. And I had bought, I don't even know, and again, this is almost like the Christmas lights thing. Like I went to the store, I want to say I spent like $50 on candy,
yeah,
which felt like to me probably the most amount of candy I've ever, or most amount of money I've ever spent on candy in like one go.
Yeah.
For any reason. And so I was like, well, this is like an infinite amount of candy, $50 worth of candy. How could we possibly go through it? Well, we did.
Wow.
And, I believe that somewhere around the time we ran out, I ran to get a pizza for dinner. And so as I'm doing that, Allie is like freaking out because people are still coming up to our house. So she goes to the freezer and we have like a huge box of like Uncrustables.
Yeah.
And she's literally giving people frozen sandwiches.
Amazing. As like our little PB&J.
Little PBJ, you know.
Why not?
Little meal to keep you going on your...
That's right. Stay energized, kids.
Right, right. Yeah. Got to get those calories in so you don't run out of energy. Make multiple laps.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, that's been one of my past Halloween highlights.
Highlights, giving out PB&Js.
Giving out PB&Js.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll have to keep people posted on how Halloween goes.
Indeed. 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 In the meantime, well, since we've been talking a lot about delicious treats, it's kind of getting colder.
Yeah.
There's something that our dad pointed out to us.
Oh, is this about the ice cream?
It's about the ice cream.
Okay. So yeah, background. I was at our parents' house last night for dinner.
Wow.
Yeah. And we had these apple tart things, and our mom began to complain that she can no longer buy chocolate chip ice cream at the store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so at first, when you told me this, a couple of things happened. One was, that's not a real problem. It's got to be there somewhere because it seems like such a like base level ice cream flavor.
Right.
You know, it's like chocolate chip ice cream to me is effectively the same, in the same category as like vanilla and chocolate ice cream. It's a base flavor,
right?
You know, like many people add things like cookie dough or mint flavoring or the literal tracks of mousses into these ice creams in order to you know, then make them more
moussin.
Yes, precisely. But so that was one reaction, was it's out there, you're just not looking hard enough. My second reaction was, oh my gosh, they always bought this when we were kids.
It was so disappointing.
It's so disappointing.
Because it wasn't moussin, and it wasn't cookie dough.
Doughin.
It wasn't mint. It was just chocolate chip.
And the thing about the chocolate chips themselves is that they weren't chocolate chips. They were like chocolate flakes, which were frozen rock solid. This is like when they put like gummies in ice cream and the gummies just freeze.
Yeah.
So when you like bite a frozen gummy bear, it just breaks your teeth.
This is the dangerous allure. Yeah. Whenever you're at, I think if you're getting ice cream at like a creamery. Is that the right word?
Let's go with it.
They're scooping, and you get to the end of this toppings, and I don't feel like growing up we were ever allowed to get toppings. Maybe this is one of those things I was like, I can't even ask. You know, I would be so embarrassed.
Right, 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 like, yes. Oh. That and appetizers. Like not acceptable. No, like, do people actually fall for this stunt? A meal before the meal?
Yeah, toppings on your ice cream. Anyway, if you, as an adult, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to get the gummies. It's like, it turns out it's not a very enjoyable experience.
Right.
Yeah. Because they just freeze and or they're completely the wrong texture
to go with ice cream. With your creamy ice cream.
Even if you eat it right away and it has it frozen, no good. But anyway, go on.
So anyway, basically I was having flashbacks to broken teeth as a child eating this chocolate chip ice cream and remembering that it was a thing. But then also, but yeah, of course, you know, just, I just assumed it's out there, surely. So I started doing a little bit of research, you know, to be like, is this a thing? Like,
yeah.
is there actually an empty shelf in the freezer section where meant to be chocolate chip ice cream, but no longer stocked?
Right.
Nothing but frozen cobwebs.
Yeah.
Which sounds really weird.
Yeah, that sounds,
can you
gross,
imagine like a cold-based spider, like an Arctic spider?
That must exist.
Is it?
I don't
know. Could it?
I don't know either. Look it up while you talk.
Okay. Well, so anyway, it turns out that there has actually been a change.org that went into bringing back vanilla chocolate chip ice cream.
Mm.
cream. And I was like, oh, no way. Like, this has actually been a thing. So like I clicked on the change.org link to see, you know, how's it performing? Like, were they successful? Did they bring it back? There were 36 supporters.
Yeah, no, they were not supportive.
It's like, why, how come there's no chocolate chip ice cream out there? And it's like, I was like, this is why. Literally this is like the type of thing the internet gets behind.
Yeah.
You know,
where's like, the chocolate chip ice cream?
I would be willing to bet that we could get more people to sign a change.org for the Sour Patch Kids company to make Sour Patch gumdrops than people were able to get on board to bring back chocolate chip.
It's because I think we've already answered the whole problem though as we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Is that we were like, you know, it's like a base flavor. We would call it a base flavor that would sit next there like vanilla or chocolate or strawberry or something. Which I can't even imagine going to a store and finding just plain strawberry ice cream as I say it out loud.
But maybe.
Maybe you could. I imagine that's a classic base flavor. But also you would have stuff like cookies and cream or cookie dough or peanut butter cup or something.
Right.
And
right.
It's like if you need more chocolate than just vanilla, like if you're gonna be a bear, be a grizzly. You know, you're not going just to like chocolate chips. You're going all the way to cookie dough. You're going all the way to Heath bar. You get like what? Why would you go to? And the problem is, as you said, the chocolate chips in chocolate chip ice cream were either rock solid, or they were so far and few in between as to basically just be the lightest bit of texture amongst your vanilla.
Your vanilla ice cream. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And so I think that's exactly what it comes down to, is that it's like, it's almost like there were so many, like once upon a time, somebody was like, hey, vanilla ice cream, like let's add some texture to that. Let's make chocolate chip. And it was like, ooh, where'd you go? And then shortly thereafter, someone was like, let's add other stuff too. And basically all of those people were more right.
Yeah, exactly. What it was. Those people were, it's not, there's nothing, now that the chocolate chip was a bad idea, you guys got it. Chocolate chip, right direction.
Yeah.
Just, there was, now that we've been in that direction for a while, we've left it in the past.
We have.
Yeah.
Okay, and let me add on that a little bit, because I also think that there's another possibility that could have happened. Mm. And this may not apply to everybody, because I do think ice cream flavors are kind of like grocery stores. They're like a little like regional, so maybe not everybody gets the same brand of ice cream.
Yeah, that's true.
But growing up, we tended to have a brand called Breyers.
Yeah.
Maybe that's mainstream, maybe it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure the logo for Breyers is a mint leaf.
Is it?
I think it is.
It might be.
And so I think that like, this is like where my mind went. Like if I were to see chocolate chip ice cream and it was said Breyers chocolate chip ice cream, I would imagine that it was like the mint leaf would get me to mint chocolate chip. And it would almost be like, this isn't minty.
Mm.
What even?
So if you do want just chocolate chip ice cream, you can still get mint chocolate chip.
You can get mint chocolate chip because the Breyers company realized that people were like, oh, that, because quite frankly, well, actually, I don't know how they decided to put a mint leaf on there, because if there's anything that sounds like it would go with a dairy product worse, it's mint.
No, I think we determined in a different podcast that wine was the worst thing you can mix with a dairy product.
Okay.
But we thought of our worst cocktail ever. which if you will recall, was white wine and milk. Terrible to even think about. Someone shared on the Reddit, and it's like, not only is it actually a bad idea, but if you do mix them, like, it will immediately curdle the milk.
It's making my stomach turn just thinking about it.
So it's not even a really doable cocktail.
Not even. No. Well, how about that?
So there you go.
All that to say, turns out that, in fact, mom and dad, in case you're listening, chocolate chip ice cream, it sounds like, actually did go by the wayside simply because there are better options.
So sorry. Use your own chips, I guess.
Use your own. Sorry, mom. DIY.
We looked into it for you.
We did.
There you go.
Anyway. Okay.
Also, I'm going to circle back to the very beginning, because I don't think we did a corny joke this episode yet.
Whoa!
I know.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Thank you, special guest Jay.
Yeah.
Jazzy Jay.
Other host.
Okay. What was that?
What?
What's up? This is, okay, I will get to the corny joke in a second, but what you just referenced
You're going to lose it.
I probably will. What you just referenced was an Emperor's New Groove, like, mention. It's like a sentence. It's not even like really a joke, but there's this like moment in The Emperor's New Groove where Cusco's like, someone's throwing stuff. And I feel like you and I will use it so, like, randomly. It's like we're quoting something that, like, the context doesn't even usually apply.
No, not really, because he's... What is he? It's when he's... Potch is trying to start the fire, right?
I think so.
Or maybe he throws an acorn and it hits him. Something happens. And he looks up and he's like, what looking at me for?
Someone's throwing stuff.
Somebody's throwing stuff.
You can build a fire?
Yeah. You build a fire? What's going on? Yeah. He's like guilty, and he's like, change subject.
Yeah. Someone's throwing stuff. So we like insert that into just, I don't know, random conversation all the time. I feel like it comes up constantly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so corny joke. I got back to it. Okay. This corny joke comes from Little Colonel Mia N.
All right.
Mia N asks, what is Batman's favorite fruit? What is Batman's favorite fruit?
Okay. I might know this one, and if this isn't the answer...
It should be.
Is it bananas?
Yes, it is. You finally do it.
Yay!
What would you have been like if I was like, no, it's pears?
Like, that doesn't even make sense.
I'm trying to think of a good way.
Yeah, how can pears be Batman's favorite fruit?
That's the real joke that needs to be answered.
Yeah.
That is the joke. That's the question.
The joke
we
is
need
that
the punchline.
The bananas is so obvious that the joke is that it's not that.
Yes.
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 Like you'd think it'd be Arby's, but it's Long John Silver's. You get it?
I do get it.
Yeah.
That's like the what's the pirate's favorite fast food restaurant?
Yeah. Yeah. What's a pirate's favorite? But you sell. It's like the third question in a row you ask.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what's a pirate's favorite letter? And it's like, R. Yeah. And it's like, what's a pirate's favorite restaurant? And it's like, you'd think it would be Arby's, but it's Long John Silver's.
Which also makes sense.
Because it's a pirate restaurant.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's amazing. Also, new segment that I've completely not forgotten to bring up.
Bring it on. What's this?
A fun fact about coyotes.
Oh, everyone's favorite segment.
Everyone's new favorite segment.
Yes.
From Ben the Coyote Carlin. Okay, so I thought this was actually an interesting fun fact about coyotes, but did you know coyotes can have litters of pups up to 12, quite a few. Mm. I understand that you have 3 pups yourself.
That's so true.
You could imagine how difficult 12 would be all at once.
Yes.
I feel like there was like a shade that just got pulled over your eyes a little bit.
I don't think anyone in history has had 12
tuplets.
human children at once.
Yeah. Well, the good news is for coyotes.
Yeah.
Is that it does help that both the mom and the dad coyote raise the pups.
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of a more unique thing to coyotes, which typically allows a greater number of them to survive.
So you hear like the phrase like a lone wolf. It's like there's not a lone coyote.
Not a lone coyote. Three coyote moon, as I always like to say.
Or 12 coyote pup.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's a lot of coyotes. So there's some busy coyote parents there scavenging for their young.
But I love it. And actually, I also found this bit of information. They're like monogamous. So they are like committed to their mate.
Man, look at them. Look at coyotes.
I know.
I would have thought of coyotes as kind of like maybe they still are, just like a mean animal that.
Well,
yeah.
There's not no truth. They are like effectively scavengers.
Right. I mean, I guess they might hunt like really weak prey, but I always assume they're eating things that have already died.
Or just about anything.
Yeah.
Anything that's edible. Yeah.
Anything that's edible. They're like goats.
Are goats that way as well?
Goats will try and eat just about anything. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Fun fact about goats.
Is this going to be your thing?
No, it's not going to be my thing.
Are you taking on goats?
Absolutely not.
But why not, though?
Well, first of all, why goats when horses are a thing?
Oh, good point. I forgot how much... For the briefest of seconds, how much you love horses.
Yeah, that's right. I'm heading into horse country this week.
You are, yes. Yeah. Heading out to Kentucky.
So who knows? Maybe I'll see a horse up close.
Wow.
I know.
What an exciting thing.
It is not part of my agenda this weekend because it seems like we will need some things to do. And if we can bring Luke to some sort of horse interaction farm, as I'm sure they're known. I can't think of a single better phrase.
Definitely not.
Horse interaction farm would be great.
Crusher's petting zoo.
Well, you know, horse interaction farm.
Horse interaction farm. Okay. Yeah. So, do you think that if you were to go to a horse interaction farm, would you be going to the horse interaction farm for you or for Luke or
for both,
or the hope that your passion for horses?
It's hard to even say I have passion, but because I'm so it's like I want it's a desire to be more interested in horses.
I understand that. Like, okay. So I bring this up because last week's episode of The Pop, we talked a lot about how you and I both know just so little about music as like a piece of pop culture.
Truth fact.
Which is interesting for us. And actually it was one of the most eye-opening moments was you pointing out the fact that it's even information like that you didn't retain, because growing up, like we said, you know, you could name the next door neighbor from like any cartoon we ever watched ever, even if it was like a one season run, you know, like all the characters of the show, and yet like very little knowledge on music. And we were riding bikes with our dad last weekend, and I could not help but feel that maybe dad was having this moment of like, how was I so unable to get them interested in music? Like,
yeah,
he was even like he is now a news anchor for like a television show, but you know, got his start doing like a bit of like DJ work,
right?
You know, was a bit of a self-proclaimed like audiophile. Like,
I think
pretty into
yeah
it.
I think he at the very least did like some, you know, top 40 DJ stuff, at least at the college radio station back when, you know, vinyl and eight tracks were a thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Those things.
Yeah. So yeah, I think this was one of the, it felt like maybe he was having one of those moments where he felt personally responsible for our lack of industry knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So my question to you would be, is there anything that you are particularly passionate about that you feel like, as a parent and like as you like raise your kids, and the moments that you might like introduce something to your children as something like they could be interested in? Because I mean, obviously you have tons of interests across a variety of different, you know, categories, whether it be like, you know, fitness endeavors or the things that we're into on Super Carlin Brothers, you know, or whatever, going beyond that. Is there anything in particular that you could not imagine, like Luke reaching adulthood and 30 years from now, you're out on the trails with him with his newfound mountain bike, preparing for his adventure race that he's totally into because you rubbed off on him in just the right way.
Exactly.
And he's like, yeah, I don't know anything about, you know, like Marvel.
that would be so surprising.
Like it's so weird that everybody like, what is Thanos?
Yeah, it would be very surprising to me if 30 years from now, Luke was just like, I don't know. Like, I know, yeah, like Steve Rogers, like Tony Stark, like Black Panther, they're all just the same. Like, you know, I'm inevitable. Like, I know the lines. I know they kind of all go together, but I can't imagine him saying that.
Right. I mean, but like, you know, that's for me, I could probably do that like with Star Trek.
Yeah.
Right. Where it's like, oh, like live long and prosper.
Yeah. You know, like, I've got like a bag of names for Star Trek, too. It's like, yeah, Captain Kirk and Picard. And one of them was Next Generation. Patrick Stewart.
Spock.
Yeah. Spock.
Yeah.
Zach Quinto, the best Spock. Everyone agrees. Actually, I know Zach Quinto because I loved his character in the show Heroes.
Yes.
He was Siler. Oh, man. It's like one of my favorite characters ever.
So good. So good. Yeah. Heroes is one of those shows. So this is like another thing. So there forever, like we have grown up, like even like watching sports. And I feel like frequently during a good sports watch, there will be like a company who sponsors a trivia question at halftime, and it's like, in the 1976 Super Bowl, who famously blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And it's always like, man, who would know that? Like, are people out there reading like the history books of sports? You know, but if you lived it and there's these like iconic things that are happening, you're like, okay, like 76, like, yeah, who would that have been then? And like, who was, you know, Steelers were probably like really good back, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You might be able to go back and, based on your personal experiences, having lived through the era yourself, be able to like summon the bit of information. It might not be so obscure.
Yeah.
And so I guess I've wondered as we age through things and we're so aware of like the major, you know, pop culture events that happened in our lifetime, it's like Luke didn't live through all that.
Right.
You know?
So what, yeah, like what will be his like missing bits of thing,
right?
Bits of knowledge. And it was interesting to me, you know, now that you bring it up, that Dad might have felt that he like failed to impart on us, not like like a love of music, because I don't think that was his concern, just like a, like the base knowledge of, like base general knowledge,
right,
is what really more what it came down to. And it's interesting because it's like, I didn't take zero cues from Dad in the music department. It was just not into the world, like the greater world of it. And I think, I don't know if it came across super, like, I thought it came across clear. I saw maybe a few comments on the Reddit. It's like, I don't want people to think we don't like music.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I like music. I listen to music a lot. I have favorite songs. I will get into a song and, listen to it just on repeat. I have artists I like, but as a genre, like, fan, like in the way you might not be into movies or you might not be into sports,
right,
or something, I would say is in the same way that I'm not like into music. It's not like I'm like constantly searching for new bands or keeping up with the industry or new album drops or something, or, you know, knowing the general history knowledge that someone who was lightly into it was into.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, however you're interested in music, great, fantastic.
Oh, and so for me, and I don't know if you can stop me if I did, but the interesting thing about me with music, I have felt, is that more often than not, I was into like the speakers, the sound system.
Right, you were like, yeah.
Like, and it was like, that was like a big priority to me always. Like,
yeah.
I remember like with my first car, it was like, I was saving all of my money so that I could go and buy like a new deck so that you could have like the super colorful like display, you know, in the center console.
Yeah.
Like new surrounding speakers and specifically subwoofers.
Right.
And I remember the day there was like a kid in my grade and he had this like older Jeep. And I remember one day I went over to his house and he was like, yeah, just put subwoofers in my Jeep. And I was like, what are subwoofers? And it was like, I didn't even know,
right,
you know? And he's like, oh, let's go outside and like sit in it. And he like, you know, went and like turned on like a song that had like a big bass hit. And it was just like the whole car, you know, it was like vibrating. And I was like, yeah, I have to have it.
Amazing.
Like, now, you know? And so it was like, I like beelined it. And to, I think Best Buy at the time, I bought like a really like small, like entry level one. And then like immediately upgraded to like a huge, like the one that like takes up your whole trunk.
Right.
And it was like, I was so all about it, but then at the same time, not into music at all. So like,
right,
I was always like Googling, like what are songs with good bass hits?
Right.
Like literally what I was attempting to find were like things that were going to make the subwoofers just like roar.
Boom. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And same thing. Like when I got to college, I remember this was like this huge, right, like thing. Like I was like, oh man, when I get to college, I am going to like save up all summer. I'm going to buy like a surround sound system for my apartment. And it's going to be like a nice one, you know, not like,
right,
not like a pair of like computer speakers, mm-hmm, that like someone's just like blasting. It's like, it's going to be primo crisp sound.
Yeah.
And so I saved up for an entire summer and I went and spent like, I mean, at the time it felt like a huge amount of money. It still sort of is. It was like $700 for,
yeah,
this like surround sound setup. And I got back to my, like, you know, to my apartment and like, I was like running the speakers, like in an apartment I was going to live in for 9 months.
Yeah.
Mind you, you know, and I like literally like mounted, yeah, the speakers,
no,
to
one's
the
installing
walls,
surround sound in,
yeah,
their college. Yeah.
Yeah. Like running all the wires, like doing this whole thing. You know, it was like RIP security deposit because I put like a bazillion little holes in the walls to, like,
yeah,
to do everything. But, you know, so then I would, one, my parties were consisting of like my most immediate friends.
Yeah.
So you're talking like 11 people. You know, it was, yeah, like, they were not like big wall to wall things.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I had it in my head that you could not play like pop music. You had to play other stuff, you,
right,
know? I have talked about this before. I'm
I
hearing
think we
my
have.
Words.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, I was always just playing like super obscure, like songs that were like not in any way, shape or form connected, but it was like, this is making me look cultured, I think, like, because I like all this different weird music.
Well, this was, yeah, it's interesting because you're like, I have all this great, this whole sound system, but then I don't know what to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like no confidence in your own like music selection.
Right.
Whatever. So yeah, I actually, on my old, my very first my first YouTube channel before we did Super Carlin Brothers on like John Carlin. I want to say like the second or third video I ever made was about a similar problem I used to have in my car, where often if you're the driver, like this was the point where you would have like the iPod or something controlling your music in the car. Like there was like some plugin, which made it difficult to navigate while you were driving, and especially irresponsible if someone else was there.
Right.
But you had this like some, it felt like almost extremely personal to have someone else scroll through your library of music.
Yep.
And like sort of see like, what is this person does? What are the things they've downloaded? Like what one off random pop song did they get really into and download or whatever, you know?
Yeah, or like, do you have Nickelback on here? Why do you have Nickelback? Yeah, is this photograph?
It felt like, it was, I don't know. Yeah, it felt like this weirdly like intimate thing. And then equally, it felt like, it on both sides. So if you were the person in someone else's car, and they're just like, yeah, play whatever you want. Just play whatever you want. And then it was like, do not tell me to play. Like, I know, just tell me what you want to play and I'll find it for you.
Because yes,
if you ask me, now I have this horrible burden of choose, like revealing my taste in music.
Yes.
And you would think, oh, everything on here is fair game, because obviously everything's their taste in music. But it just felt like I would be like paralyzed by this.
Oh yeah.
You know, I couldn't do it. So it would always,
let's just talk.
Let's just talk. Or the answer would be like, find like a funny song. Be like, oh yeah, it was hilarious. Like find like a Lonely Island song. Yeah, this is hilarious, right? Can you believe I chose this? All right. You know, that was my strategy for that kind of situation.
Just try to find like the most ridiculous thing ever.
Yeah, just find something ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. No, this I get that completely.
But that was an issue. However, I mentioned that we took some music cues from my dad, and I'll say that he too, I think, was probably more into speakers than the music itself.
I think so.
At some point.
I do remember that when we were kids, we had like two very large like speaker towers.
Yeah.
And then we had like this like, it's, I don't even know how to describe it. It had like a glass door,
yep,
but it had like just a stack of like stereo components.
Yes.
Attached to it.
It was like dad had walked into a Circuit City or a Radio Shack and was like, I pretty much need one of everything. I need something to play records. I need a 6 CD changer. I need something to record tapes and make mixtapes. You know.
Yeah.
One of everything.
One of everything.
I mean, to say it was a waist-high stack of audio componentry would be exactly accurate.
Yes. Yeah.
But I will say the style of music, I can't believe this didn't really come up last week, that I really took from our dad was Jimmy Buffett.
Yep.
Yeah. Like if you guys want to know, that's easily my favorite, like longtime favorite artist, which growing up just felt like, yeah, this is like, because I think we went on a bunch of ski trips. And dad would like, he'd just be playing Jimmy Buffett the whole ride up.
The whole way.
And he would just be like, yeah, these are great songs. I'm into it. And it occurs to me now that as like a 10-year-old, maybe Jimmy Buffett's a weird favorite artist.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
That like never occurred to me growing up. I was like, yeah, this is what I like. And like, so it's interesting though. I don't even think I understood there was such a culture around specifically Jimmy Buffett's music.
Right.
Which is... like parrot heads. They have like a name and everything.
It's a huge thing.
Huge thing.
Yeah.
Like it is a culture, you know, and you know, I've been to several Jimmy Buffett concerts. I had probably 5 or 6 albums in my car. I had like live concerts that I would listen to. So that is definitely the deepest I've ever gone down one particular artist.
Right. No. Yeah. And I remember that. And I remember like when you and a couple of your friends started going to that concert, like going to those concerts, and it was just this, like, to me as like your younger brother too, that almost felt like it became this like rite of passage.
Oh.
It was like, oh, like you have to go to like a, like a big thing like this. And it's a huge outdoor party and it's so much fun.
Well, that was the thing. I think the first one I went to, I was like 15.
Yeah.
And so the other enormous part, as you can probably tell by the titles of many of his songs, is consuming alcohol.
Libations.
Like, yeah, like drinking is a big part of the culture.
Yes.
It's like it's a big beach party, basically, all times. It's like living that beach life at all times.
But that's even the funnier thing, too, about like the Jimmy Buffett genre, is that it's sort of like you can like name everyone who's in it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's like 6 artists who comprise like beach country hangout. Yeah. music.
Yeah, if you want to make a good beach playlist, all you really need is Jimmy Buffett and Kenny Chesney and Zach Brown Band, and you've pretty much got that's it.
You're good. There you go. Wow.
Although let me say, I've been to a Zach Brown Band concert too, and one of the few concerts I really genuinely enjoyed being at in person.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was super fun. We were like down on the floor right near the stage. It was cool. Okay.
So that being said, I'll close out with my first major concert going. The first ever concert I went to was Weird Al Yankovic.
Me too.
You were there. I remember.
Maybe this was the first misstep.
right.
This was our introduction to live music.
Like we were so, like, I don't even know that we were so into Weird Al, but like we had the album Bad Hair Day, which was, you know, obviously a bunch of parodies of song, which at that time I didn't even know what the word parody meant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I knew the Weird Al songs before I knew the real songs.
Right.
Like when I heard, like Gangster's Paradise or Gangsters in Paradise.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. I always knew Amish Paradise.
Oh, Amish Paradise. The superior version.
Like that's, I was like, this is so weird. There's this like hip hop version of Weird Al's classic song. that was my first ever concert. But then in somewhere in high school, a group of friends of mine and me got really into 3 Days Grace and Breaking Benjamin. And they were touring together and they were like going to do a concert, you know, in Roanoke. And so like we like bought tickets and like that was even like a like the idea of buying tickets to me. I remember it was like this like weird thing where it's like I'm spending like a lot of money on something that is not like a tangible, you get to keep it. It was like my first individual experience with spending money on an experience.
Right.
But I have to tell you, it was like, I cannot believe how well it went.
Yeah.
Like I went to the concert and it was like a very rare occasion where I knew all of the songs
mm-hmm.
and it was like a super happening thing. And as like a kid, I refused to dance basically anywhere at any time. I had no comfort for it.
Right.
But like on this individual night, like me and my group of friends, I was like, I got it. And there was like crowd surfing going on. And at this time I'm like maybe 16.
Yeah.
And like quite literally crowd surfing
yeah.
at like a major rock and roll concert. Well,
right.
I don't know about major, but there was enough people in it. And like one of my friends got like dropped, you know, which was kind of like sad, but like I didn't.
Yeah.
And it was like the trust exercise of people like just like moving you. And it was like, I don't know. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And then I like left and I was on like such a high. And the weirdest thing was that like, I just never chased it.
You again, like didn't go back to it.
Yeah. It was like, I was like, I don't know if a concert experience could ever be that good. Like,
yeah.
It was like, I was like, that was perfect. I got it. I have done concerts.
I will say the interesting thing is that I used to work at a concert venue, which is what compounds my embarrassment towards not knowing this stuff.
Right.
Is that I've met so many musical artists.
You have.
Like, especially for country, which I do know a lot more like country music.
Right.
Because that's what's popular in our area and indeed what I enjoyed listening to a lot in high school. But similar experience. My very first day on the job, there was Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper were doing a concert at the venue. And this was my first night. I don't even think I'd been hired yet. It was like, you've been hired. You started on Monday. But if you want to come in Saturday night and sort of get the feel for a concert, you know, you can come in. And I was like, cool. And it's like, you know, I show up and, you know, I couldn't. This is like one of, again, I'm like, Alice Cooper's not a woman.
Yeah.
You know, like one of those situations. You're like, okay, right, cool. Got it. Understand. Nice to meet you. Cool. Got to meet him. But it was one of those, like, I never really like loved going to concerts or anything, but I remember sitting there and I was like, okay, I should just sit here and watch it because this is so cool. What an opportunity to get to come see this concert for free.
Yeah.
And I sat there and like watch it and it's, you know, Alice Cooper and Rob Zombie did like really heavy metal, really loud, like crazy stuff. And I remember leaving a little before the end and I got back in my car and I had like just turned on the radio and it was the local country station. And it was this very weird phenomenon where like, even as I was listening to the concert, I was like, I don't think I was understanding like how the environment was like enveloping me, but to sit in my car and like turn on just like country radio, it was like, wow, this feels so like, I understand why people like that kind of music because it is like so intense. Like me sitting here listening to this doesn't even sound like, what a pathetic attempt at music.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, like, it's like, what is so this guy
sitting on a stool with an acoustic guitar
with a single guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, And meanwhile, there was like a wall of speakers and yeah, the whole building was vibrating.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That I was like, that was when I first like realized like, oh, I understand why people really like this.
Yes.
Because it is like a, it is like an adrenaline rush.
Oh my gosh. Thing.
Anyway.
Well, there you go.
There we go.
We've learned so much more. We've expounded.
We've expounded.
Yes.
We've expounded.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. Again, if you want to go and check out those metal person cards that we have going on with your Patreon sign up between now and October 25th, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. And as always, I want to give a huge thank you to these patrons who now support us over on Patreon, including Jason Flower, Eden Landry, Emily West, Haley Vance, Melanie, Stephanie S. Stewart, Mia, Diana Lazo, Max Lazo, Thomas Bonima, and Matthias Dowville.
You got it.
I got it.
Well done.
I was doing so well. Ah, man. I put a lot of like pressure on myself.
Oh.
Every week.
That's what you should.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I want to make sure I get it right.
Pressure is high.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, since we mentioned this and I didn't confirm it, the Arctic wolf spider is a real thing.
What?
Arctic spider.
Arctic spider.
Popular in Greenland.
Popular?
Not.
If you live in Greenland, you love.
Not popular probably to the citizens of Greenland, but popular.
Location for them to live.
Location for them to live.
Got it.
Arctic wolf spiders are all about Greenland.
All about. I was going to say. Guys, as always, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. Until next week.
Pop.